Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. Today, Dr. Jennings continues his reading of portions of his groundbreaking book, Could It Be This Simple? So far, we've learned some of the things that love isn't. Love isn't controlling. Love isn't eroticism. And love isn't dependency. As a matter of fact, all of these have a nasty habit of destroying love. We ended our last broadcast with Dr. Jennings sharing where dependency comes from. It begins in childhood. Let's pick up right where we left off. Here's Dr. Jennings.
Young children idealize their parents. It means that they see their parents as nearly perfect, with almost supernatural abilities. Therefore, when parental rejection occurs, the child makes the only conclusion he or she can. If my parent is perfect, and if I am unaccepted, something must be wrong with me. The child is incapable of recognizing that the parent is the actual problem. Imagine walking out of your local supermarket and seeing in the parking lot a 50-year-old man cursing a 5-year-old girl. He is calling her every foul name that you have ever heard. Do you immediately think, what a terrible 5-year-old girl? No, you instantly recognize that the man has problems. But what does the little girl walk away feeling like? What does she think? And what if the man was her father? Too many people go through life like the 5-year-old girl. Whenever someone treats them badly, they believe that something is wrong with them. Recall the woman in the preface of this book. This was one of her problems. Not only did someone call her bad names, but he treated her in vile ways. She never realized that the problem was not with her, but with the man who was abusing her. This template of relating to self and others gets established in dysfunctional families before children develop the mental ability to be introspective and reason such things out. Therefore, they operate within this perspective without even becoming aware of the problem. Dysfunctional family life trains children to depend on another's opinion or feedback as the barometer to measure their worth. They unconsciously accept the false belief that the opinions of others are more important than the truth. Children in such situations feel as if they are incomplete in some way and will go to great lengths to obtain the affirmation they so desperately seek, but they never get it from others and never will. No matter how wonderful the external validation, it never satisfies, because they have formed an identity based on the inconsistent experiences of childhood. Unfortunately, such children usually fail to recognize that the problem is not in themselves, but in their chaotic upbringing. As a result, they remain trapped in a distorted self-image. Consider visiting a farm and going out each morning to get milk from a bull. It doesn't matter how desperately you want milk, the bull can't give you something it doesn't have. But let's say you don't know anything about farms, and you don't realize that bulls don't produce milk. You might conclude that your inexperience is causing the problem, so you go back day after day seeking the milk. The continued lack of success frustrates you. Suddenly you find an explanation for your failure. You recall reading that bulls don't like red. You realize that you've worn red bandana each time you sought milk from the bull, so now you begin to dress in other colors. Still, no milk. Next, you remember that animals like music, so you bring a stereo with you and play a variety of songs. But still, no milk. At times, you beg the bull, but with no results. Bringing special food, you hope that a change in diet will produce milk, but again, to no avail. By now, you've not only become frustrated, but angry. Briefly, you consider shooting the bull. But as the thought of doing so runs through your mind, an explosion of feelings like a train whistle screams from within. If I do that, I'll never get the milk. And then you feel terrible guilt and begin the process all over again. What is the problem in this scenario? Failure to see the truth. Bulls don't give milk. Many of my patients have a difficult time accepting the reality that they have parents incapable of giving them the affirmation, love, and acceptance they need. It leaves them continually vulnerable to the manipulations of their parents and constantly and chronically insecure as they continue to believe that the problem centers within them. Imagine, in our bull example, that the bull is intelligent. Is it possible that because the bull enjoys the attention and special treatment, he might lead you to believe that one day, if you keep it up, you just might get some milk? Unfortunately, many human beings are like that. While so self-centered that they are incapable of providing nurturance to others, they still enjoy the attention they get from others trying to get their approval, so they lead the dependent party to assume that one day they just might receive the love and affirmation desired. Back on the farm, you finally recognize that bulls don't give milk. Does that mean you can never have anything to do with the bull? Of course not. You can still have the bull pull a plow or cart. The difference is that because you don't need something from it, you aren't being held hostage by the animal. You can now come and go freely. When we care about someone, it is difficult to set boundaries and say no, especially when we know that the other person will be unhappy with us for doing so. Encountering the anger of others is extremely uncomfortable, even when we are doing what is healthy. This is especially true when our parents have conditioned us to need their dysfunctional approval. Ignoring the problem might seem easier than confronting the situation, but the consequences are often far worse. Because the problem continues to build, by the time it finally gets addressed, it is usually much larger. Dependency is a hopelessly destructive cycle, as such behavior violates God's law of love and liberty. The unfortunate result is greater loss of self-esteem, self-worth, and self-confidence, accompanied by an ever-increasing need for further external validation. Therefore, individuals caught up in it continue to be empty buckets seeking to be filled by emotional support of others. But because they are unable to retain that support, they never experience real stability or wellness. Those in the nurturing role eventually become exhausted, reach their limits, and can give no more. The dependent person then interprets this loss of nurturance as rejection and responds with overwhelming hostility and anger. Such is dependency, the great counterfeit to love. When I ask my patients how to tell what true love is, far too many respond by saying, "By the way it feels." But as we have already discovered, feelings are entirely unreliable and can often deceive. Many of us, for example, have experienced the confusion of thinking we are in love only to later discover that we have been mistaken. Human beings do not naturally possess true love. It is a love quite the opposite of our natural desires, of selfishness, of our genetic inheritance, of egotism, and of the id. True love is the principle of doing what's in the best interest of the other person, the principle of giving, of beneficence, regardless of how one might actually feel. Parents, do you remember taking your toddler to get vaccines? Did it feel good for you or your child? Then why did you do it? Because your reason and conscience recognized it was in your child's best interest to get the vaccines. And because you love your child, you chose to have someone stick a needle in your child even though it caused pain. But the pain was not what was intended. It was something unavoidable in order to get the vaccine. Do you think you took any risks that your toddler might not understand? From the child's perspective, what do you imagine it was like to get vaccinated? "Mommy, Daddy, why are you doing this? Why are you letting them hurt me? Don't you love me?" But because you love your child, you were willing to be misunderstood in order to do what you knew was best for them, even when it felt bad. That is how love works. Sometimes it feels good, while other times it hurts. But love always heals, always protects, always builds up, never destroys, never seeks its own. True love is not motivated by feelings. Think of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was about to experience the cross, the greatest act of love ever known in all history. And what were his feelings? He was in anguish. He agonized. He suffered. If Christ had based his actions on how he felt, he would not have gone through the cross. Love is not a feeling, but an action in spite of feelings. When we love others, we will be willing to risk being misunderstood in order to do what is in their best interest. God did this all through the Old Testament. Many times he raised his voice to get the attention of his unruly children, because he loved them and didn't want them to destroy themselves. Yet consider the risks he took. Many might conclude that God is a severe, vengeful, arbitrary being who requires some kind of appeasement. In fact, many have decided that God was exactly like that. But love does what is right and reasonable because it is right and reasonable, not because of what others will think. True love stems from knowing God. When we know him, as it is our privilege, we find our hearts broken in admiration and adoration for the great sacrifice he has made to reach us. The recognition of the immense measures he took upon himself leads to gratitude in our hearts. As we learn to know him, we come to love, admire, respect, and trust him. We learn his methods and principles, and then we begin to practice them in our own lives. our desire to stand for what is true and healthy eventually outweighs our concern for ourselves, and we begin to walk on a higher plane of existence free from fear and insecurity. God recreates us within and endows us with a power outside of ourselves that enables our continued advancement and growth. Love is the opposite of dependency. Love heals while dependency destroys. Love liberates while dependency always seeks to control. Love gives while dependency constantly takes. Love is fearless while dependency is fear-ridden. Love is interested in another while dependency focuses on self. Love is stable while dependency wavers. Love is orderly and reliable while dependency is chaotic and unreliable. Love is based on principle while dependency is based on feelings. Love is consistent while dependency is inconsistent. Love is honest and truthful while dependency is dishonest and deceitful. Love is patient while dependency is impulsive. Love is kind while dependency is cruel. Love is forgiving while dependency is resentful. Love protects while dependency exploits. Love sacrifices self while dependency sacrifices others. Love never ends while dependency never lasts. And love never fails while dependency never succeeds. I wish that when I was younger, I had known the truth about the law of love and liberty. It would have helped me to avoid so much heartache and pain. But unfortunately, like most people, I misunderstood love, and therefore have made some regrettable decisions. Like so many, I had accepted a counterfeit to love and experienced the pain that results when such mistakes are made. To those I have hurt by my failures to love, I am truly sorry. If I could change history and undo the pain I have caused, I would. But this I cannot do. Therefore, I do that which I can. I learn from my mistakes, make right what I am able to do, and through God's grace share these truths to help others.
Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings sharing sections of his book, Could It Be This Simple? We'll include more such readings in future shows. Friends, I want to invite you to the Come and Reason website, where you'll find many, many resources to help you on your journey of discovery when it comes to God's character of love and how we can reflect that character in this sin-filled world. Books, articles, television programs, sharing tracks, blogs, it's all there waiting for you at comeandreason.com. And just so you'll know, the team at Come and Reason loves to give things away. Check it out at comeandreason.com. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.